What's up, y'all? Welcome back. I appreciate you for tuning in to another episode, wherever you are. If you're taking time out your day to listen to what your girl got to say, I am forever grateful for that. So this episode, I wanted to talk about what does true submission to Yahuwah look like? What does true submission look like? And I was thinking about this because I saw something on social media, and this girl was saying how we can have faith, but that doesn't mean that we have trust. And to me, just my personal opinion, I feel like you can't have faith without trust. But then I looked at my relationship with God, and I was just like, there have been times where I'm writing myself out now, where I have complete faith that he can do something. Like, oh, I believe he can do it. He can move mountains. He can turn water into wine. Like he can do any miracle. But I don't trust him to do it. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And I'm going to do it myself. Like, if I'm being honest, I feel like that's how my relationship is sometimes, depending on what it is, right? There are certain things in our life that we have faith that God can do it and trust that he can do it. But it's those sensitive things that we don't want to let go. Those things that are near and dear to our hearts that we're just like, I'm going to take this one into my own hands. I'm going to try to make this work for me because I don't really truly trust that you can deliver on this. I feel like if I put this in your hands and allow you to do your thing, then I'm going to have to settle. So I wanted to explore that in this episode because I wrote down in my journal a couple of days ago, you know, when I asked myself, what does true submission to Yahuwah look like? And this was my response. We are quick to say that we are in submission, but we want to take matters into our own hands. We want our life to look a certain way because we are influenced by other people. If somebody has something we want, then we go after that. But is that what Yahusha wants for our life? We have different gifts, talents, but we are busy trying to get in someone else's lane. Our focus isn't on Yah and the assignment he has for us. It's on another person, essentially keeping us distracted. Our drive to achieve what someone else has highlights our discontentment. Our discontentment leads us into rebellion, and rebellion is witchcraft/divination. This can open doors in our life where Satan can wreak havoc. We grow resentful, unforgiving, covetous. We start coveting, etc. We develop a hardened heart, and this can prevent us from hearing clearly. So we start relying on our own thoughts. Our submission is conditional. We will submit if we see the whole picture first. So there's a clash. Yah only reveals in part. We have limitations attached to our submission. And it made me think of this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:9 through 10. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I just want that to marinate for a second. Especially the part where I wrote down, you know, our submission's conditional. We will submit if we see the whole picture first. I'm not gonna lie, that's me. I know for me, I am somebody who I want to know the entire plan, A, B, C, D, all the way through Z. And then once I know the plan, what we doing, where we going, who we going with, how much it's going to cost, what we going to do, then it's like, okay, cool, I'm on board. But if I don't see that, then I'm not fully on board. And the thing is, that's not what submission is. I'm calling myself out this entire episode. So don't feel embarrassed if this is you. I'm really just talking to myself in this episode. That is not what submission is. I don't know what it's called, but I know that it's not called submission. Because submission, especially to Yah, is when he tells you to do something and you do it. I have a habit of when God tells me to do something, I will do it if he shows me what's going to happen when I do it. And here's the thing. When you have that mindset, you're actually operating out of fear. And last time I checked, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And y'all, you want to know why God doesn't give us the spirit of fear? Because a lot of people say that. And then you think to yourself, okay, well, he doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but I do, you know, have fear in doing this assignment that he gave me. So here's the thing. There is nothing wrong with you having fear for something, but you still do it. Now, listen, I want you to catch this. God gives you an assignment to, I don't know, go somewhere. Go. I need you to go to this location. You have fear of going to that location, but you still go to that location. Right? You notice how you had fear, you had emotion because you're a human being, but that didn't stop you from doing the assignment God called you to do. You still feared or had fear, but it didn't stop you from doing what he said to do. Here's where people get into trouble. When you operate out of the spirit of fear, when you are operating out of that spirit, there's a difference between operating out of the spirit and having the spirit of fear. Having fear. When you operate out of the spirit of fear, you're operating out of witchcraft. And here's why. Same scenario. And God says, I need you to go to this location. And you say, okay, I'll go to that location if you show me what's going to happen along the way. If you show me what's going to happen when I get there. Basically, I need you to show me the future. And if I approve of it, then I'll do what you want me to do. And here's why that's witchcraft. Because you're trying to see the next steps before they happen. You're trying to manipulate the situation. You want to know what's going to happen before it happens. Yah telling you something is going to happen is different than you taking it upon yourself to find out what's going to happen. God can warn you, hey, don't go here. Something's going to happen. He might not tell you what's going to happen, or he might tell you what is going to happen. But you realize, you notice how he told you that. There are people trying to know what's going to happen, and they're taking it upon themselves to figure out what's going to happen. That's what witches and warlocks do. They operate out of divination. You're operating out of the spirit of fear, because fear says, I need to know what's going to happen before it happens in order for me to do what it is that you want me to do. People try to manipulate the situation. I hope that makes sense. But I just wanted to mention that, you know, because I always wonder, I was like, operating, you know, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but I'm not gonna lie, like, he asked me to do something and I'm like, okay, well, I got fear, so this must not be of God. No, you can have fear, you can have emotions, but don't allow that fear to stop you from doing what he has called you to do. That's what I wanted to say. But anywho, you know, oftentimes our submission is conditional. I definitely can speak for myself on this, because I want to see the whole picture before I do it. So what happens when you operate out of this mindset is, one, you're operating out of fear, and it can turn into witchcraft, divination, without you realizing it. And two, it can keep you stuck. right? It can keep you stuck and not completing that assignment that he told you to complete. Because you're sitting there waiting for the full picture and he's sitting there waiting for you to move forward because he already gave you the command. But you're waiting for more. So you're just waiting around. You're waiting on him to move and he's waiting on you to move. So nothing actually gets done. And now, third, you're operating out of disobedience because you're not even doing what he told you to do. You're operating out of fear, i.e. witchcraft, divination, because you're trying to see what's going to happen before it happens. Two, what did I say two was? I just forgot what two was. It'll come back to me. Lord, help it come back to me. You're operating out of disobedience. You're in disobedience, right? And yeah, your submission is just conditional. You're not trusting him. And I thought of that scripture, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We're not going to know everything. It's not meant for us to know everything. If we knew everything, how would we possibly operate out of faith? Faith is the evidence in the things unseen and the things hoped for. In the things unseen and the things hoped for. That's what faith is. If we see everything, we see what's going to happen. We see the future, everything that's going to happen and unfold. How would it be operating out of faith? Faith is scary. I don't know about y'all, but faith is scary to somebody who wants to see the entire plan from A, B, C, all the way through Z. And that's something I struggle with, like actually having faith. Well, faith, but I feel like for me is trust. And again, when the girl on social media said like, oh, you can have faith, but you can't have trust. In my mind, I'm like, well, if you don't have trust, do you have faith? Like, do you really have faith? Because I can believe, but that doesn't mean that I have faith. Like, I feel like you can't have faith, but not have trust. And vice versa. I feel like faith and trust kind of go hand in hand. That's just me. Just my personal opinion. Sometimes I feel like we try to separate the two, but I think as I'm like talking, I'm realizing that you probably can't have faith without trust. Because I feel like that's what faith is. If faith is the evidence and the things unseen and the things hoped for, and we have our faith in God, then that's going to take trust. You know, what does true submission to Yahweh look like? So here's a definition of submission that I got on the internet. A voluntary act of surrendering one's will, desires, and authority to a higher power or authority. Right? So a voluntary act, right? You are choosing to surrender one's own will, your desires, and your power to a higher power or authority. That is what submission means. I don't know what website I got this from, but this was like the best definition I saw. Surrendering one's will. When you are submitting to God, to Yah, you are taking your own will for your life and you are pretty much putting that on the back burner and you're taking his will that he has for your life and you're putting that in place. So the will that you have for your life, you're erasing that and you're taking the will that he has for your life and putting it where your will once used to be. You are essentially just following orders at that point. It is not about you at that point. Your will, desires, and your authority, you know, your ability or your power, you are submitting that to, you're surrendering that, excuse me, to a higher power or authority. Placing what someone else wants above your own. Since our submission is conditional, we only give up something if we see how it benefits us. This is what I want to talk about real quick. The thing about submission is like, I feel like people only do it if they see how they're going to benefit from it. And I think it goes back to wanting to see the full picture. You'll be surprised. A lot of people are not willing to do things if they see that it doesn't like benefit them. If it doesn't benefit them, then they're not doing it. You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen that it's like a meme or a, you know, like a picture on social media? It's of a little girl or a little boy and they're holding a teddy bear. It's like a small teddy bear in their hand. And then it's a picture of, you know, God, like Jesus, like with a bigger teddy bear behind his back, but he has his hand out. So essentially the picture is illustrating like, you know, when God, like he has his hand out asking us for that small teddy bear that we have in our hand, but we want to hold on to it, but we don't realize that he has a bigger teddy bear that he wants to give us. Right. And when I looked at that photo and I really thought, here's why I feel like that's a problem within the body of believers. I feel like we've been taught as believers that when we give something up, we are going to get something back in return. So a lot of believers have a mindset of, oh yeah, I don't mind giving something up, because in their mind, they're going to get it back. And my question is, if you were asked to give something up, but you didn't get that something back in return, would you give that something up in the first place? If God asked you to give something up, but you weren't going to get that something back in return, would you give that something up in the first place? And I genuinely, deep down in my soul, believe that people would not give it up. If we're honest with ourselves, if God told you to give up that six-figure job, good paying job, you not wanted for nothing, right? But you knew that the job you were going to get next was a lot lower than the job you just gave up. Like the salary was a lot lower and now you were kind of living paycheck to paycheck now, but it was a job that he wanted for you. Would you give up your six-figure job? The answer is absolutely not. For a lot of people. Because a lot of people have the mindset of, oh, well, I'll give up my job because I'm going to get a better paying one. And here is what's a shock to the system. I've learned this on my journey. And even my journey with, like, you know, being obedient to God when he told me to get out of the military, I was making pretty good money in the military. I was an officer in the military, in the Air Force specifically. I wasn't hurting for funds at all. I'm not gonna lie. And this was pre-COVID, so I was balling, right? Like rent was cheap. And when God told me to give that up, I didn't have a mindset of, oh, well, I'm going to get a better paying job on the back end, right? I was just obedient and I gave that career up. But it's funny how when I gave that career up, my next job was in sales. I was a closet designer. Well, I mean, I did like closets, garages, food pantries, like just different spaces, but mainly closets and stuff. And that was a full commission job, as in if you don't sell, you don't eat. So I was getting money, like just straight commission, trying to pay my bills. Let me tell y'all, that was a huge price drop, salary drop. Even though I was getting good money, because sometimes you would work with the client for like 4 hours and then you would make like $2,000. I mean, it was cool, but you know, you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't see that $2,000 until like installation, which might be 2 months later. So that was kind of like the trade-off. So it wasn't consistent pay. And again, if you didn't sell, you weren't making that money versus getting paid every 2 weeks, whether you showed up to work or not. When I went from being an officer in the military to going full commission, just in the sales industry, I felt like I was making less than half of what I was making in the military. I didn't know I was going to take a job like that once I get out the military. I don't know what I was going to do when I got out the military, but one thing I didn't think of was taking a job like that. And it's funny because had guys showed me, oh yeah, I need you to get out the military. And by the way, when you get out, you're going to have a job that pays you less than half of what you're making now. If he would have told me that, I would still be in the military. I would be like, you know what? Maybe me being depressed and having these mental health issues is not that bad. Maybe I'll just suffer in silence and stay here. Because he would have showed me what I'm about to endure. And I would have been like, that don't benefit me. So what's the point of being obedient? Oftentimes, I feel like we have this mindset, again, when he tells us to do something, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm ready to do it. But we only are excited to do it or ready to do it because deep down we feel like he's going to give us that something back more than what we gave up. And don't get it twisted. I don't want people to think like, oh my God, he's going to ask us to do stuff and take stuff from us and not, you know, bless us. Because for the longest time, and honestly, a part of me, as I'm making this episode, still feels that a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I feel like he asked me to give things up. And then for me, I feel like I don't get those things back. Right? Like, I need you to give up this high paying job. And it's like, I get a job, but it's not high paying like my last one. You know? I need you to give up this relationship. And it's like, okay, but this relationship is not like my last one. If I'm being honest, like you stay stuck comparing what you gave up to what you got. And you don't see the benefit. How can I say this? The cost benefit, like, it costs a lot. You wouldn't have a problem if something cost a lot up front, but then on the back end, the benefit was more than what you actually paid for. Does that make sense? You know, businesses don't invest in things that they don't see like, okay, how is this going to benefit me? You know, I'm paying $10, but we're only going to get $5 on the back end. Like, that's not, then I'm not going to invest. Now, if I pay $5 up front, but I got $10 on the back end, then it's worth my investment. That's, you know, basic business 101. And probably that's the reason why we get in trouble with God, because we're trying to use that same mentality with him. Because the reality is, we should be ready to give up anything that he says to give up and not expect anything in return, because he's not obligated to give us anything in return. And that's probably one of the reasons why, like, I personally don't get along with a lot of like believers. I just feel like I can't really relate because I don't have that mindset of like, oh, I'm a give this up and I'm gonna get something back in return. You're talking to somebody who used to be in the military. It is ingrained in me, and my dad was in the military. So like I used to live on a military base when I was younger. Like I've been surrounded by just military culture my entire life. My granddad was in the military, uncle, he was in the military at some point. Like all the family friends we have, close family friends, military. So like I've been just immersed in military culture, and military culture is like, you know, what do they say? Oh, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice. Right. So we're kind of like trained, if you will, to sacrifice, but not get anything on the back end. Like our benefit is you being happy in a sense. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just have the mindset of when you sacrifice, you don't expect something on the back end. Versus in the church, I feel like they teach you if you sacrifice, you should expect something on the back end. Do you think people would tithe if they didn't receive something in return? Like, oh, I know if I tithe $10, God gonna give me back more than what I gave in. It's like, that's the mentality. And I'm like, okay, well, what if he doesn't? Oh, don't say that. This, that, and third. Because here's what happens. When you have people who think like that, when people go and give something up like a job or they give like their last dollar and they don't get that back, they feel slighted. I know I do. I'm like, what was the point? Right? But another part of me feels like God can really use people like that because he knows the hearts of people. He knows people are only coming to him because they want something from him. You know that person who called you? Right? They call you, but you just know that they really calling you because they want something. So they, oh, how you doing? How's the family? This, that, and the third. Right? And then literally 3 minutes into the conversation, oh, can I have something? Have some money? Or can you do something for me? Like, they never cared. You know, we live in a generation where people literally treat you like you at a business conference. Like, dude, like, hi, yes, how are you doing? Like, why are you treating this conversation like a business transaction? Like, I don't want to talk about business all the time, networking and all this. Like, can we just have a regular conversation? I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant, but I feel like people just be using people. If you don't have nothing to offer somebody, they not dealing with you. Like, dang, like, we can't just have a conversation. The only reason why you're having a conversation is to get something from me. The only reason why you're willing to do this for me is because you want something out of me. Ooh. You want to know somebody's heart's pure? They do something without expecting anything in return. And that's the type of heart posture we should have. And that's the type of heart posture that a lot of believers don't have, which is, I feel like, a reason why. And, you know, I ain't innocent either, because when I got out of the military, had this job, I started feeling some type of way. I started feeling slighted, like, dang, like I gave up my military career and I got this job and, you know, I might as well have just kept my job in the military for all that. Right? How come I don't have a fancy job? Right? How come I'm not getting money like I want to get? And sometimes, y'all, it's just for a season. It's just for a season. I believe that God does not withhold a good thing from those who are walking uprightly. He doesn't withhold a good thing, but sometimes it's just for a season. It is literally character development. that job, which was full commission, developed my character and just forced me to be humble in ways that I already felt like I was humble. But I mean, it's one thing to think you humble, and it's one thing to go through certain things that force you to be humble. It's character development. And then after that job, I went to like a county job, and I was pretty much getting what I was making when I was, say, like a second first lieutenant. So didn't God restore me in that aspect? But it wasn't right off the bat. And I think people give up because they're expecting, okay, God, if I give you this, then your next move is going to have to benefit me. And when we don't see it right off the bat, we think God like slighted us. And then we give up on him. And then we go do our own thing, not realizing that he just needed to develop your character. So when he restored you, because he's also a God of restoration. So when he restores you, you are able to hold on to that blessing that he has for you. We want to be restored on our time, when we want. Okay, if I do this for you on Monday, you got to do this for me on Tuesday. And when that person's like, well, I'm not able to do that until the following week. Okay, well, I'm not going to do this for you. Okay. Our submission is conditional when we only give up something if we see how it benefits us. Conditional submission is not true faith. We still have our hands on the situation. True submission is walking in obedience, not seeing the full picture. I am notorious for saying, oh, God, you handle it. I trust you. And God is like, oh, okay. And then I turn around and I'm still trying to handle the situation. I'm checking back. Oh, I'm just checking up on you, God, just making sure you handling the situation. Mind you, this is me talking to God about that, as if he don't know everything, as if I know more than him. Oh, just checking up on you, making sure you doing what you're supposed to be doing. How you going to trust God for something, but you still got your hands on it? I'm confused. Because what you're doing is you're undermining him. Well, you're really just undermining yourself, but you're showing that you really don't trust him. You're trying to undermine him. You're trying to undermine him. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tell y'all a quick little story. I remember I was in college and I went to this event with this guy. I ain't going to mention no names. I went to this event with this guy, right? And, I had a liking to him, whatever, at the time. After this event, those feelings were dead. But anywho, so we went to this event, and then on our way home from the event, he was driving. And where were we? We was like somewhere in Montgomery. I ain't know my way around Montgomery like that, but we was somewhere in Montgomery. And it was dark. So he was like, you know how to get back on the highway. And I was like, yeah, I'll tell you where to go. Mind you, I ain't know my way around Montgomery. So I was literally telling this dude to go down streets, and I know where we was going, but I was just playing it off. And then a part of me just kind of wanted to spend more time with him and just talk. So anywho, he was like, all right, well, you give me the directions and I'll just, follow your lead, basically. So I was like, all right, bet. So I'm telling him, go down this road. Right. So I'm looking out the window like, oh, I think go down here. So I'm telling him to go down certain roads, and he's going down these roads. Right. Tell me why this guy was also on his phone, unbeknownst to me, looking up, I think like Google Maps or whatever. He was looking up directions to get back to where we were going. So basically, He told me to tell him where to go, but he was also looking up directions on his phone. And when I found out, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing? And I felt some type of way. And I know that sounds like, okay, girl, what was the point of this story? In that moment, though it was something like that, like directions, I felt slighted because how you gonna tell me to tell you the directions, but yet you're looking up directions on your phone? I'm confused. You either gonna listen to me with the directions or you're not. Because if that's the case, you should have just looked up the directions from the jump and we would be headed back to school. And I felt slighted. And, you know, mind you, we were lost, right? I ain't know where we was going, but I was vibing. Like, I wasn't that concerned about getting back, but clearly he was, right? Your girl didn't care. Eventually, I was going to pop out the GPS and be like, all right, we lost. Let's look up some directions. But the fact that you asked me to give you directions, but then you low-key, like, go behind my back and look up directions on your phone, what was the point of you even asking me that in the first place? You should have just did what you wanted to do, which is look up directions. And again, I felt some type of way. And I felt slighted. I felt undermined. And isn't it funny? That's exactly how we treat God. We ask God for advice or directions on how we should move. And then we do our own thing. And God is probably like, okay, well, what was the point of you coming to me? If your mind is already made up, why are you coming to me? And that irritates me as a person. If your mind is already made up, why are you coming to me for advice? Because the reality is, when somebody is already determined to do something and they're coming to you asking you what your opinion is, they're not asking for your opinion. They're asking for confirmation bias. They're asking you so you can talk, so you can either confirm or not confirm what they're already going to do. And as somebody who takes, I guess, pride in, like, somebody coming to me and, hey, I need help in a situation, and I really sit there and try to find a solution to the problem, I get offended when people come to me and they've already made up their mind, but they're still asking me for advice. Because one, I feel like my time is being wasted. And two, just do what you're going to do in the first place. Like, you're using me for confirmation bias. I don't know. That's just me personally. Maybe people don't see it as that deep, but I do. And I never forget that situation. Because I felt like he undermined me, undermined my intelligence. I didn't appreciate that. And the Michaela back then knew that God was working on her because I had a lot to say to that man, but I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut. The fact that I kept my mouth shut knew that I knew God was moving. I knew God was moving in my life. I'll just say that. But yeah, we asked God to handle something, but then we still try to handle that something that we gave to him. Make it make sense. We still have our hands on the situation. True submission looks like, okay, what's the directions? I'm following your lead. And even if we got lost, the fact that you put your trust in me actually empowers me to lead better next time. We were in the car just driving around. We wasn't like going to the hood. I ain't know my way around Montgomery like that, but I know parts not to go to. I'll just put it to you like that. You know, so it's not like we were in danger. We was just driving around in the car. Right? You know what at would have gave me confidence in that situation, besides me just trying to play it off, act like I knew where I was going, if he would have been like, you know what, it's all good. Have you, you know, you should bust out the GPS and just use the GPS. Instead of him telling me, okay, I'm going to follow you, tell me where to go, but then you looking at directions on your phone at the same time. So you're not even listening to me. So at this point, I'm just talking, just to be talking. Oh, go down here, go down here. And you're like, oh, okay. But you looking at directions on your phone. True submission is you following the lead of that person, even if they are in the wrong. And when you realize that they're in the wrong, showing them grace and being like, oh, okay, it's okay. You know, let's just go another way and see if that works. And when you do that, you build confidence within that person, and you're also building trust. Because now you're looking at each other like, oh, I'm just appreciative that you trusted me in this situation. And I feel like that's how God looks at us. We give something to God and we're like, God, you know, like, I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know how this is going to look. I really want to know the end game before I give you this thing. But you know what? I'm just going to give you this thing and I'm just going to trust you. You know how that makes God, you know how that makes God feel? Like, wow, my child actually trusts me. Now I'm really, now, you know, I'm really, you know, kind of like obligated in a sense to do that big thing for her, because she's putting her trust in me. She's putting her faith in me. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You do not need to see the full picture of something in order to be obedient. You do not need to see the big picture. Yah sees the big picture on your behalf. You just need to be obedient. You just need to follow orders. You want to know how people get in trouble with God? God tells them to do something, and instead of just following orders, they start questioning the orders that have been given. I don't know about you, but in the military, when the commander gives a command, it is not a matter of you figuring out why he gave that command. That's not your job. Your job is to follow orders. Period. You are trained to follow orders. And check this out. This is why discernment is key. Submission, like the principle of submission, is biblical. And the problem is Satan has taken a biblical principle and twisted it for his benefit. If you know me and you follow me, I am unapologetic about saying how the United States military and people serving it, people who say that they are of God, should not be serving in the United States military. Because the United States military has nothing to do with our Hebrew Messiah. You are not serving our Hebrew Messiah while serving in the military. That is not the God that you are serving. So if you're not serving him, who do you think you're serving? Like, straight up. Right? And here's the thing. Satan will take a biblical principle and he will twist it to his benefit. This is exactly how you get soldiers who are given a command to do something, but that command goes against God's commandments. Like, it is in opposition. Like, I need y'all to go into this village and I need y'all to not leave nobody alive. Y'all need to find this weapon, whatever command that they're given over there. right, that involves killing folk. They're given that command, and guess what the soldiers do? They just follow orders. But the orders that they've been given are orders that go against God's word. So my question is, who are you in submission to? Because you can't be in submission to God, to Yahuwah, if you're going against his word. So who are you in submission to? Do not think that just because submission is a biblical principle that Satan won't come along, try to snatch it up and use it for his benefit. And this is probably another reason why I personally struggled with submission, because I was in the military, but yet I was questioning like the mission. Y'all, Satan is crafty. It's funny how when I was in the military, I was questioning, at first I wasn't questioning anything, right? Like people in the military, they're not questioning. They're just following orders, right? I'm in the military just following orders in submission. But it's funny how now that I'm out of the military and Yah is dealing with me directly, now I want to question everything. Satan has us questioning Yah, but when Satan wants us to do something, we're in full submission. When Satan has us doing things, we should be questioning, but when Yah has us doing things, we should be in full submission. Do not underestimate how far Satan will go to turn something good evil in something evil good. When people aren't in submission to Yah, but want you to submit to them, and you don't, you're seen as rebellious. I feel like I'm seen as rebellious sometimes to authority, leadership, whatever the case may be, because I strive to be in complete submission to Yah. So when somebody of like a higher authority comes along, I can tell that they're not submitted to Yah. There are people who they're not even submitted to Yah, but they want you to submit to them. And the number one people right now that I can think of is people in these Israelite camps. A lot of men in these camps believe that they are equivalent to God, which is why I never meshed with men in these camps. I never meshed with men who have this godlike complex to them, whether they're in the camps or not is irrelevant, because you have them in the church too. I never meshed with that because I've learned what true submission is. True submission is order. True submission is being in alignment with Yah. And if you aren't in alignment with him, why are you wanting me to submit to you? Because the spirit that you're operating out of isn't even of Yah at that point. Submission is a biblical principle. Order is a biblical principle. So why does the world and worldly entities want submission? They want to pervert the principles of God. This is another reason why you having discernment is key. Because the enemy will come along and try to get you to, you know, act on a biblical principle, which is submission, for his benefit. This is why a lot of women in these camps don't have a problem with submitting, right? Submission isn't a bad thing. It's biblical. But it's who are you submitting to? What spirit are you submitting to? Because Satan right now has people in submission to him. They're in the military. Serving in the military means you are submission to Satan, straight up. That's what the... Come on, bro. Like, don't get me started. This is exactly why when you are in the military and you start questioning, like, yo, what are we doing? Like, are we really fighting for freedoms? Like, people look at you like you crazy. Why? Because now you're looked at as rebellious. Now you're looked at as out of order. This is why when you go to these camps, well, I ain't never been to no camp. But I know what's going to go down. Because the same spirit behind the military is the same spirit behind these Israelite camps. I already know what it is. That's how I know if I ended up in one of these camps and I was like, oh yeah, pastor or bishop or captain, whatever they be calling them. The irony, captain. I would have been a captain in the military by now, but they call their leadership captains. The irony. But, you know, bishop, captain, officer, soldier, whatever they be calling them people in the camps. You know, this isn't of God, this, that, and the third. I would be looked at as rebellious. And they would probably send the women on me like, oh, sis, you need to submit and stuff. This is why you not married and this, that, and the third. Like they always do. They always send the women to go against the women to get the women in line. But I know what submission is. It's just that I recognize the spirit that you're operating out of, and I'm not submitting to that spirit. Because a lot of people are submitting to the spirit of Satan. When you participate and continue to participate in things that have nothing to do with God, pagan holidays, customs, cultures, rituals, etc., organizations, you are submitting to the enemy, to Satan. Satan is taking a biblical principle, twisting it, and using it for his benefit. And you are falling right in the line. Discernment is key. You know, it reminds me of another biblical principle, which is marriage. Marriage is of God. Isn't it funny how marriage is a biblical principle, but people who don't even believe in God, like atheists, they still get married? How are you an atheist? You don't even believe in God, but somehow you believe in marriage? I'm confused. Ain't it funny how the world doesn't want to acknowledge our Messiah, but they want the benefits of what our Messiah offers? Think about that. There's benefits that come with submission. Order comes with submission. People of the world love when people submit to them. They know the benefits of submission. Trust, order, people being on the same accord. Through submission, you're able to build community. You're able to have a mission and get it accomplished. People know the benefits of submission. The enemy ain't dumb. He's just counting on you to not have enough discernment to realize that you're submitting to him and not Yah. He got you submitting to him freely. But when it comes to God, now you want to ask questions. Now you want to be conditional. Now you want to, oh, well, I need to see the big picture and stuff in order for me to submit and all that. But with the world, you just do it freely. Come on now. Make it make sense. What does true submission look like to Yahuwah? I thought of something else, and I might put this in another episode. And I wrote, discontentment creates covetousness. And covetousness pushes you to push your own will. And pushing your own will leads to rebellion against God. So you're probably like, what does that have to do with submission and everything? So there was a question that I had. What was the question? Oh, okay. So when we're talking about submission and how, like, you know, giving up your own will for yourself and taking on the will that God has for you. So like you might have a plan for your life, right? But then God has a plan for your life. So whose plan are you going to carry out? Are you going to carry out your own plan and do it your way? Or are you going to do it God's way? And when people say, oh, you know, I'm gonna give up my plan, I'm gonna do it God's way. What happens is God's way might not be the way that you think it should be. Perfect example. Your will is to become a CEO of a company, whatever company that is. You start from the bottom and then you work your way up. Your will is to become a CEO, right? However, God's will for your life is for you to become a senior manager within the company and for you to stay at that level. Now, my question to you is, you know, since we're talking about true submission, would you be able to submit to Yah's will for your life? To just be a senior manager at that company. That is his will for your life, is to be a senior manager at the company. But your will is to be a CEO. So my question to you is, would you be able to submit to his will for your life? If people are transparent with themselves, and they don't even have to be transparent with themselves because people be lying to themselves all the time. A lot of people would not be okay with that. They would be discontent. And why would they be discontent? Because they would want to be a CEO. All my other friends are becoming CEOs. All these other people are becoming CEOs. Why can't I be a CEO? Discontentment leads to covetousness. I'm going to go more in depth in another episode, but I want to leave y'all with this example. Lord help me try to make this make sense. Okay. Especially if you are a Hebrew Israelite listening to this, or an Israelite, or somebody who is labeled African American or Black in this country, or wherever you are in the world. If you are of the Black community, even if you're not, this might apply to you, but I definitely know that it applies to people in my community. It applies to us heavily. So just follow me. Let me walk through this. Discontentment leads to covetousness. Covetousness leads to you pushing your own will. And you pushing your own will leads to rebellion against God, i.e. not fulfilling God's will and not being in true submission to him. So check this out. With this CEO, senior manager example. God tells you, a Black person, my will for you is not to be CEO of this company. My will for you is to be a senior manager. Let people from other nations be a CEO of this company. You want to know what a lot of Black people would do? They would, first off, develop discontentment. Why? Because they're looking at other people from other nations become CEOs of the company. How come this white person gets to be CEO of the company? How come this Asian person, this Indian person, everybody gets to be a CEO of the company, but not us? Right? So now discontentment is brewing and is turning into covetousness. So what does covetousness turn into? Pushing your own will. So God already told you, look, my will for you is to be a senior manager at this company. But your will for yourself is to be a CEO. And on top of that, you're going discontent and you're coveting what other people have. Other people from other nations are becoming CEOs. So now what does it lead to? You pushing your own will. So guess what you do? You strive to be CEO of that company. So you put in extra hours, taking away time from your family at home, now your marriage is on the rocks. Your kids don't like you because they don't know who you are because you spend all this time at work or whatever the case may be. And this goes for women too, right? Your marriage is in jeopardy because you spend all this time at work, taking that time away from your husband, from your kids, because you striving to be a CEO of this company. But God then told you to be a senior manager. That's his will for you. But you were not content with what God's will for you was. So now you are pushing your own will. And what happens when you push your own will? You are rebelling against God. So guess what? You become CEO of the company. Congratulations. You got what you wanted. But there's always a cost to being in disobedience to God. And you want to know something? God was protecting you from being CEO of that company, because what you didn't realize is that CEOs of a lot of companies, they're, especially depending on the company, they're in cahoots with people that you don't want to be in cahoots with. I'll put it to you that way. There's a lot of compromising of morals and values that goes into being CEOs of certain companies. But because you were so gung-ho on pushing your own will, because you were so gung-ho on coveting what other people had of other nations, because you was trying to prove a point, now you are in a position where you didn't compromise your morals, your integrity, your soul to be where you are. But God's will for you was to be a senior manager. What was wrong with being a senior manager? You was making good money. You was able to pay your bills and had a little money left over. But you wanted what you wanted. So I want y'all to think about that. I don't want to keep on going with this episode. This episode is actually a lot longer than I expected it to be. But I want us to think about it. What does true submission look like? What does it mean to truly submit to Yah? Because a lot of us just want to submit under certain conditions. We want to submit, oh, as long as it benefits us. But if it don't benefit us, I'm not trying to submit. Sometimes true submission to Yah means that it's not going to look like it makes sense to other people. But anywho, y'all, I hope this episode was edifying. I know I was kind of like all over the place this episode, but it was just on my mind. I feel like we're going to continue this conversation of submission because I'm just in this headspace of talking about submission, obedience, or what it means when we're disobedient and coveting and all that stuff. But yeah, y'all, I hope this episode just made you think about things in a different light. Made you really question, you know, what is true submission? What does that look like to Yah? And hopefully challenges you to look at it differently and start, you know, implementing those changes that you need in your life in order to truly submit to Yah. So thank y'all for tuning in. Until next time.